This is the Shape America podcast, hosted by Colin Brooks
and Matt Pomeroy, making 50 million strong by 2029. Welcome to the Shape America podcast. I'm Matt Pomeroy.
I'm Colin Brooks.
I'm Stephanie Sandino.
We are hanging out, we are pumped up, and we are ready to get our groove on. But yeah, we are finally back together after Shape Nashville, which, wow, was that such a good time. We had a blast getting to meet Stephanie for the first time in person. It was really cool, and just hanging out with everybody and podcasting like crazy machines in Nashville, and I think I'm fully recovered, just getting back from spring break, and that was kind of nice to have that little mix in there as well, but it's good to be with you guys.
Yep, it's good to be back for another episode, and this is going to be an awesome episode, by the way, so yeah, just pumped to be recording another episode as we continue into the spring, into the final period of the school year for everybody, so pretty excited.
Yeah, definitely excited for this one. I think everybody's going to be really excited for this podcast. So I'm excited to, we're excited to introduce you. And here we go. You guys are in for a treat today.
We do need to add a little bit of a disclaimer. This is going to be an active podcast. So normally if you drive into work while listening to the podcast, please don't dance along with us. Save this podcast for another point in time. We are going to be grooving today. We have Michelle Hillier here, and she is just going to introduce herself real quick. And like I say, she's going to get us moving and grooving today. And we're pumped. We all got our workout gear on and ready to roll. So how you doing, Michelle?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here, everybody. I'm really pumped to be sharing my passion for dance and movement with this podcast. So I'm really honored. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you with us today. And again, it's going to be kind of broken up. We've got some questions for Michelle, and then we're going to get our brains going, get our bodies going, our hearts pumping with a little bit of a dance. And Michelle will kind of talk us through that as well as we get
Absolutely.
Going. But yeah, we're definitely planning for a little bit of learning and a little bit of action, and everybody moving and grooving along with us. So careful if you're sweeping and you've got that broom, go ahead and dance along with it, but try not to knock too much stuff down and all that good stuff. So Michelle, let's just talk quick. Just what's your philosophy on dance? What's your main idea behind it?
For sure. I think it'll help to give some context of where my background, where I come from, and what brought me here decades later, sharing this with you guys on this podcast. So I grew up being a dancer. Like, I danced my whole life. Traditional, your typical studio competition. I then went into professional dance for a number of years. So I was actually working on cruise ships and theme parks and music theater. And it was a big part of my life. And the natural fit was to then start to teach dance. So I was a classroom teacher for a number of years. And my philosophy back then is very, very different than what it is now. So back then, and I think it's just based on what I knew and what my background was and what my cognitive framework was around dance. It was that we follow instructions, we all look the same, we try to get it right, we try to follow the teacher to be on stage or win the competition or whatever it is. When all of a sudden that, you know, education entered my life and I was in the classroom, that doesn't work. That doesn't work for kids. It doesn't work like But oftentimes we see teachers taking their outside knowledge and bringing that and adapting that to what happens in education and the walls of the school. And I really had an awakening that this is not actually what kids need to be doing. They need to be expressing themselves, being creative, getting physically fit and active. And so I had a huge sort of transformation about, I want to say, like 12 years ago, and it completely shifted my my philosophy of dance.
So speaking into that change in philosophy, can you tell us a little bit about the groove method, what brought
sure,
you to
for
that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a big piece of that was an experience that I had. So being a teacher, a dancer, a teacher, it was also kind of a natural fit to go into fitness instruction. So I became like an aerobics instructor, the typical, you know, step aerobics and high-low and all that fun stuff. And while – that was years ago, but I also attended major like fitness convention in Ontario called CanFit Pro. And while I was there to, you know, learn steps and routines to teach back to people where who knows if half of them would have got it or not. But I was there to learn that sort of modality. I stumbled upon a session called the Groove Method. And it was led by a woman out of California at the time. She now lives in Mexico. Her name is Misty Tripoli. If you Google her, she's got a huge, you know, groove movement going on globally. So she was the one in the room. I walk in, you know, in my dance fitness gear. Everyone's in bare feet. There's a drummer in the corner. There's like hundreds of people, and it's like it was like this electric live energy. I was just drawn into it. I kicked my shoes off and I grooved for the first time, led by Misty. And it was honestly a transformative experience. I felt like for the first time, I wasn't trying to get it right. For the first time, I was completely able to express myself and really dance. And that's crazy to say because I had been dancing for 25 years, but I felt like that one moment and that one experience, I really danced. And I think because it was my authentic way of dancing. I wasn't trying to copy anybody or get it right. So anyways, that whole weekend, I was set to go to numbers of sessions. I ditched them all and just followed Misty around and took all her sessions. You probably know you've been at conferences where you may have done that, right? I did all six of her sessions. And at the end of the weekend, she was in the fitness, adult fitness world only. So I was a teacher at the time, taking dance experiences into schools in a very traditional sense. And I really saw the groove as something that kids need to be doing and that teachers need to be learning a little bit more about in the context of education, of schools, and connecting it to PE and to dance. So I approached her at the end of the conference and I said, like, do you do this with kids or in education? And she's like, absolutely not. Do you want to? So that was 10 years ago. And it's been It's kind of like a sister partnership where I am inspired by her method so deeply that it's changed my whole teaching philosophy and practice. And there are many other programs and people that have been changed by the groove that have now taken it and inspired new programs and created new programs that are inspired by the groove method.
Awesome.
So does that make sense?
Cool.
That's a bit of a story. So yeah, it's amazing though how one session was like super transformative.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it would do that, but I've reflected over the years and I do a lot of speaking engagements about this. I was with some corporate women yesterday. They were all in their suits and heels and I had half an hour to share the groove with them. So that I tell this story to many audiences and it really is that moment where in 1 hour you're like, why do I feel so different? It's the way the groove makes you feel. And hopefully you'll feel that in your living rooms today. On your own. It's more of a group experience, but on your own, it's still, why not? It still works.
you can groove when no one's watching. It's all right.
Absolutely.
I still remember.
Great.
I think you led a little groove session at Shape Boston, right? On St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was after, Dean Creelers and I have become friends over the years. And he's watched Groove in Action at many conferences, and he's our Canadian academic hero of physical literacy, well, global pretty much, champion of physical literacy. And he's really watched it and been like, you know what, this is the most quality physical literacy experience I've ever seen, because they're being creative. Of course, they're being physically fit and active, but they're anonymous. There's social inclusion. There's no time or peer pressure. It's all these factors that he talks about with physical literacy that really honestly come alive with groove. So he invited me up. He did his keynote, and it was a little sort of a trick we played on the audience to get me up on stage to get the whole crowd moving. He's like, are there any Irish people out there? Are there any redhead Canadian Irish people out there with gold shoes? With gold shoes. Anyways, yeah, so that was a little trick to get everybody up and moving.
Your story
resonates with me. Like, you know, it's so important to go to conferences and continue developing as a person. Like, you just stumbled because of your professional involvement. You just stumbled upon this and it was just a total game changer for you. So I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool story.
It is neat to like reflect back on that and be like, you know, that really was. And it then the power that it has, also, and I mean, I teach at two universities here in Ontario, teach like B.Ed. students, Bachelor of Education students, or I guess you call them PEET students.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I also teach an additional qualifications course for teachers. So if you're like a kindergarten teacher or a grade 12 biology teacher and you want to get your dance qualifications, you take a course at one of our universities, and I teach it here. And it is also, just to share with you, when I share groove with the teachers and the teacher candidates, it's the one modality that they really are inspired by and they can connect with. And I don't make my whole course groove. I wish I could. Now I have curriculum to follow too. But it really is one, and I think we'll talk about that a bit later when we talk about inspiring educators. Right. To have the motivation to try to do something. I think the groove is a very powerful tool.
All right. Let's do it. Are we ready?
You want to do one?
Move.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's rock and roll.
Okay, let's do it. So I need to give a little intro before we do this, though. Can you guys all do something with me? Okay, so show me your hands. Yeah, so to understand the groove, we have to do a little tiny example first. So we're going to connect together, and imagine we have like a group of 50 or 100 or whatever. We're going to connect together on a snap and try to sound like one person snapping. Okay, you ready? It's going to be a little delayed because of our where we are in the world, but it's all good. Here we go. Snap. All right, now we're all united. Beautiful. Now take the snap anywhere you want. So now you're not copying me. Take it anywhere you want. Matt, don't copy me. Yeah. Okay. Now add some style and personality and snap with a little bit of your own little jam. And if people were around you, snap with them somehow. Pretend they are. All right. Hands down. So in a group, like when that's done with a large group, it starts very stoic and very like, you know, serious. And then you see the faces kind of come alive a little bit with, oh, I'm making my own decisions. Kind of cool. And the focus is off me, off the facilitator. And then when you finally say, add your own personality and snap with others, the mood in the room completely changes. And I've done this thousands of times with all ages and abilities. It always is the same. Smiles, laughter, interactions, personalities come alive. And I just, that's my very, very small example of how the groove works. So when you made all those choices and snapped all over and had your personal expression, I have a question for you guys. Could you get it wrong?
You can't get it wrong.
No, you sure could. So the deal is, as long as we're united on a simple movement, the way that you style it and the way that you
can't get it wrong.
And that's one of the pillars of the groove method. There's five pillars, and one of the very first one is you can't get it wrong. So it's a key like fundamental principle and philosophy behind the method that makes it very powerful and very engaging and just creates a safe space where it's accessible for anybody. So I have to do this. Take a finger up, point to a pretend person beside you. Point to someone on the screen, like Matt, pretend to point to Stephanie. Yeah, and say you can't get it wrong.
Can't get it wrong.
And then point to someone that's in your house somewhere that's sleeping or whatever. Tell them they can't get it wrong.
Hey,
Beautiful.
And then two fingers up, wiggle your fingers. And then point to yourself, because we are our own worst critic. This is for sure. We always are in fear that we look stupid or not doing it right. So we just tell ourselves, I can't get it wrong.
I can't get it wrong.
Okay. On your feet, we're going to groove.
Let's do this. All right. Everybody up. Okay, everybody ready? Find a space.
Can you hear me? Are we good? Thumbs up if you can hear me?
Yep.
Beautiful. Okay. So if you are, and this is maybe good for PE teachers to hear, for teachers, if you are doing a groove with your classes, you want to first get them acquainted to how they're going to use the space, because there's no front or back or right foot or left foot or choreography to follow when you groove. So I always ask students or group members, whoever I'm with, to first get used to how we're going to use the space, which is 360. So when I say go, you're going to take a walk and do this in your own home. You're going to take a walk all around the space. Go for a walk. Just walk around. Yep. And don't just walk forward, walk sideways and backwards. How about some different pathways? Maybe you want to make a zigzag on the ground or a spiral, whatever you want. And then freeze and bend your knees. Hands on a big drum. This is so interesting, having your faces all doing this. So we're going to start with a grounding song. It's an awesome one. Here we go. It's called Corpus Rex, and it's by Safri Duo. So bend your knees, put your hands on that big drum. Here we go. All right, hands on the drum. Now there's a beat. Hit that drum. Oh, Colin, you got some mean hits there. I like it. Hit, hit, hit. Bend your knees. Hit. Big drum in front of you. Beautiful. Boom. Amazing. And shake your hands and knees. Bend your knees. All we're gonna do is stomp. It goes stomp, 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 stomp. Now, I always encourage people, it never matters what leg you're on at all. Bend your knees and just stomp. That's it. So the whole room should be on different feet. It doesn't matter. Ready? Little faster. Go. Stomp. Now you want to encourage some style and expression, so bend your knees, swing your arms, and let your body actually dance. Let's see how you guys do it. Matt, looking good. Stephanie, looking awesome. Colin, yeah? Now bend your knees, hands on that drum, play the drum. Play the drum. But I want to see some style as you play the drum. Let's see it. Yes. Now the drums aren't just in front of you, they're all around you. Where can they be? So focus is off of me now. Where are the drums? They're high. They're low. Stephanie's got them on the wall. Matt's got them all over the place. Holy moly. Yes. Drum it out. Drum it out. Bend your body. Bounce to the beat. Freeze. Go back to the stomp. Here we go. Stomp. All right. We're going to travel the stomp. So wherever you are, stomp around your room. Stomp. Can I hear heavier feet? Yes, can I see more style? Beautiful. Okay, little change, guys. Six stomps. Go. One, two, three, four. Two jumps. Jump, jump. One, two, three, four, five, six. Jump, jump. One. On the jumps, show me celebration arms. Yes. Beautiful. Last two. Drum it out. Go jump. Now, where else can you drum? Try a new choice. Let's see. Can you drum with the person beside you? Whoever's there, pretend they're there. Pretend they're there. All right, grab the drumsticks. Grab them and throw them away. Beautiful. Awesome. Awesome, guys.
Nice, nice.
All right.
Love it.
I'm going to swap out my mic. Okay.
Everybody gets put back in here, get set up. That very, very cool stuff. Love it.
It's super tricky and interesting and awesome that you guys are doing it alone. Groove is
what we're together. Yeah, we're all together.
But what's that?
So we're all together. Like, we're here. We're
all together.
Room.
We're here. Exactly. I just want to ask. I want to ask each of you one word to describe that experience. Go. Just what would you say?
Happy.
Happy. Happy.
Energizing.
Energizing.
Free.
Free. Again, I love you said that, Matt, because I do. I always do a debrief, like instant after, not just one song, but if we do like a whole 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever. I have them share with each other what the word and words like freeing, liberating, out of my comfort zone, but I felt good, that kind of thing. So we want to do that when we expose children and youth and adults to groove is taking them a little bit out of their comfort zone. Yeah, you're not able to follow something. So this is, again, getting back to the philosophy of the method, is that it's going deeper than just getting kids fit and learning to dance. It's that they're getting themselves to take a risk and try something new and try different ways of doing things, using their critical and creative thinking skills to inspire movement. And one of the sort of the three, like I mentioned, You Can't Get It Wrong is one of the foundations, but also is community. So I know you were alone, I was alone, we're all alone. When you have a group of people groove together, it really is magical, because there's something so celebratory about it, because everyone's doing their own thing. They're not stressing about trying to get choreography right. And it really creates a real magical feeling.
I think there's a lot of talk on social emotional learning too, and the fact that you bring, you know, you bring in that person next to you, that you're talking to them, that you're drumming with them, that you're, you know, just doing those kind of things. Like that's key, and just in a very safe environment. So I clearly love the start of what we're discussing here.
Yeah,
and it's the safe piece. I think that's neat to, or really important to talk about as well, is people are terrified of dance classes and fitness class, where they have to go and like get something right. It's like kind of conditioned into them by a certain age where they perhaps had a negative experience with dance, and that can turn them off into not dancing as adults either. So I do address many groups that are terrified to be there. Like they're not chosen to be there at a conference, but I'm brought into their group, and I say, please don't say the word dance. don't tell them they're gonna the bad D word. Don't tell them they're gonna dance. And so that's, I make that a real strong point, is that we're gonna groove. We're not gonna dance, and it seems to just shift the buy-in as well.
Yeah, that's cool. And I always say you grow when you're out of the box.
100%. Yeah.
So, I mean, I was one of those kids who, you know, my first dance experience in school was square dancing. So I didn't feel very comfortable, nor did I feel comfortable with, you know, maybe holding people's hands. So this just like, I wish this was around when I was younger, because I feel like I would have had a completely different experience, which would have carried on over to my adult life. You know, now for I'm sure. at the point where I don't really care what I look like when I'm
That's good. That's great.
So I definitely appreciate what this can do for our students and even people attending this, like a session. I mean, we're going to have a whole group of people listening to this and dancing in all parts of the world and all parts of the nation.
I love it.
With us.
That's so cool.
Without even us knowing about it. So it's kind of cool what this is going to bring to everyone else. So I'm going to transition here, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about scope and sequence and curriculum. How do you build dance and dance concepts through scope and curriculum and into a curriculum map?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll just kind of break down when I train teachers or do workshops around groove, and how they can turn that into actually, you know, having students create and assess, etc. Is that it's not just about, you can't just do the groove and have that be what they're, how they're dancing. They need to be creating something based on that. And what I always teach them is like a three-step sort of, and I'm happy to share this as well. I'm not sure if you can have links in your podcast for documents.
We can.
Can you have that? Okay, so I just recently, Human Kinetics, we've been working on it for 2 years now, Quality Health and PE program for elementary. It's a national text coming out in this fall, and I wrote the dance chapter for them. So I'm happy to share that document with you guys. Exciting. So yeah, and I got to like talk about the groove and talk about how the groove is like the jumping off point for students to become confident and competent, basically physical literacy, and become just motivated to then create something. Because oftentimes we see teachers kind of stuck with what to do with a dance unit, and they just say, oh, okay, get into groups, make up a dance, choose your own music, and it has to be a minute long. Like, that's a disaster. because literally you're giving them no context, no success criteria. It's just way too open-ended. So in this chapter that I'll share with you, it breaks down exactly how groove can be the jumping off point. So you might want to do a groove a day for a week. And that way you're building some, you know, some movement vocabulary. Create a word wall. So they have all these actions like stomp, play the drums, skip, shuffle, pony, whatever they are. And they can call them what they want. It's not a, you know, there's no porta bras or anything fancy in groove. And then from there, I run down that I do activities to explore all the elements of dance. Now that's a very sort of Canada, Australia, UK thing. The US, you don't have as... There's not as a lot of talk around the elements of dance, but they work beautifully and they tie in nice with PE national standards as well. So it's a whole idea of like body, space, time, effort, and relationship. So it's all ways that we use our bodies through movement and through using music. So there's an activity for each one of those elements of dance, which PE teachers can absolutely do and connect to standards. And then from there, the final stage is taking the word wall and all these movements they're feeling awesome with, taking their knowledge of the elements of dance and then putting them into what I call a dance recipe. So it's this checklist that you want them to see. It's like a recipe. So if you're making a cake, you're not going to be just throwing somebody all the ingredients and saying, go for it. They need to know how much of what, and then what to do with it, how long to bake it, and all the instructions. So we really set them up to create their own dance phrases or dance creations with groove as the basis, and we want to see groove in their final product. So if they choose to drum, everybody better be drumming all over, even though they've chosen them. So it looks very, very, very creative, and but they're still following some instructions to go along with it. I then provide a couple song suggestions that are, you know, global in nature, instrumental, very universal, that, you know, culturally diverse as well, that that all the groups will use. They don't use, I don't suggest that students choose their own music for many reasons. And then that way, as a teacher, I'm jumping kind of more into the instructional strategy, but as a teacher, you then have sort of a little more control of the space, because you're playing one song. You're the one sort of, you know what I mean? Like they're just all rehearsing and practicing to one song. It really sets them up for creating beautiful work.
That's awesome. Go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I think oftentimes with teachers learning to dance or desiring to teach that to their students, there's always that barrier of like, I don't know how to dance. And 100%. I really feel like the curriculum that you've been discussing is kind of gets rid of that barrier. You know, anyone can help students to become creative, you know, using dance. Yeah. So I think this is awesome.
And that's something I asked the teachers at the beginning of a workshop or a session if they're there to learn about that. You know, why aren't teachers teaching dance? And I have them do a little think, pair, share activity. And the same answer has come up for years in anywhere I go across the world is that I don't know how to dance. So how can I teach kids how to dance? I'm like, well, let me show you groove. It's not about you having the moves, you know. And then I like to also refer to like other subjects. Like I taught grade 6 at one point when I was a teacher, and I had to teach math. I had to teach social studies. I had to figure those subjects out that are, I don't do math, but I had to figure it out. So it's the same with dance. See, there's ways to figure it out.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, how does that look like when you transition from grade level to grade level? Like, let's say taking that from an elementary scope and sequence to a middle school scope and sequence. I think the word wall is phenomenal. I love that idea. Do the words, you know, do they evolve, become a little bit more complicated? We start getting some combinations going on. What does that look like?
For sure. Great question. So I kind of break it up by, you know, K to 3. 4 to 8 and then secondary, so like that. And it's based on the movements don't change. It's funny. People always say, what songs do you know are good for kindergarten or for grade 8? I literally do the same songs with all grades, K through 12, and just more repetition. It just makes it easier. Like that song we just did, Corpus Rex, I would do with kindergartens, but I probably wouldn't add the 2 jumps after the 6 stomps. I'd let them just keep stomping. For, you know, for senior students, I'd encourage the jumps. So the grooves become a little more complex and, like you said, a little more sequencing attached. And then secondly, the dance recipe, you would never give the primary division more than, say, 3 things you're looking for. So let's say you want to have them choose 3 groove moves, have them show a starting shape and an ending shape, and show 2 levels. That's enough. Move into like the 4 to 6 to 7 8. Then you want to maybe see 5 pieces of criteria. You want to maybe add in there a moment while the group is connected, or something fast and something slow. And then senior students, you can give them even more criteria. Also, groupings of students is important too. To remember, I always kind of go the younger the grade, the smaller the group. So you wouldn't want to get 5 or 6 grade 2s together. That's too many students at that age group to work together. In grade 1, I have them do it in partners. Grade 2 and 3, groups of 2 or 3. You can almost go by the grade number, and then senior students can handle, you know, great groups of, say, 6, no more than 6.
Good thoughts.
So there's things that can layer in, and you'll see that in the chapter, some suggestions for those 3 divisions. But yeah, it just becomes a little more complexity, but still it's still simple. Like the foundation is super simple, but the criteria, what you want to see in the final outcome, is less sort of check marks on their creation. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Okay. Awesome.
Let's Let's get up. Let's groove. Come on. Okay. I think I'm ready for another.
You ready for another one? Okay. All right. I'll set this one up. We're gonna do Geronimo by Shepherd.
All right. Cool.
And I can also provide the move, like when we put this up, the moves and like the song, the artist, and the moves, and a little table of the songs that we do today. Cool.
That'd be awesome.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So let's.
All right. We're all gonna get set up. Everybody who's listening, get yourself ready to go as well. Time to groove.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Roll those.
Are we on?
We're good.
Can you hear me? Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is a little bit more building some principles of physical fitness. So the movements we have are a run on the spot. The run's going to turn into a dodge. And then we have a jumping high ten. So you're going to have to pretend in your comfort of your own home that you're high tenning somebody, whoever's near you. And we encourage different high tens with different people. So jumping high ten, little runs with dodges, and then we do some squats as well on this one. So you'll see the grooves really can be the theme or the principle or the why can be anything. This one is to build fitness. Are you ready? Colin's looking pretty serious there.
Now you're good.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we're gonna connect our beat to the music.
Whoa, that's loud.
Okay, here we go. Connect the beat to here. Run, just a little run. Run. I really want to encourage students and teachers to stay on the beat. As you start to make it a little funky, as you start to move your run around the space. Run. Don't just go forward, just go sideways and backwards. All right, you're going to eye up somebody who's there, face them, say hi, jumping high 10. So say Geronimo, say we're going to jump on the say Geronimo, say Geronimo, say Geronimo, say. We can even say, hey, again, hey, new move, double hop, double hop, double hop. Double hop and start to add some party arms. Party around the room, go. Nice, Colin, looking good, my friend. I like it. All right, calm it down, bring your feet back. Back to the run, go, run. All right, move around and dodge each other. Make some eye contact. Find a new partner. Jumping high tens. Go. Set Geronimo. Set Geronimo. I want to hear you say hey. Hey.
Hey.
Let's hear it.
Hey.
You got it. Nice, Matt. Double hop. Here we go. Double hop. Now, how far can you go side to side? Almost like you're going to fall over. Nice, Stephanie. She's got her legs super high. What's happening? Whoa. Rockettes over here. All right, turn around. All right, gather together as a big group. Imagine we're in a big group. Put our arms around each other. And we're going to pulse. All right, every time you pulse, arms down, I want you to reach. Now, don't just reach in front of you. Reach for someone different every time. Reach. I like the smiles I see. Squat and reach. Squat and reach. Squat and reach. All right, we're still in a tight group. Bend your knees, jumping high 10 with the group.
Say Geronimo, say Geronimo, say Geronimo.
Hey, 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 two more. Hey, hey, double hop. All right, say somebody near you. Double hop with them. Say somebody different. Double hop with them. But I want you to make it flat. How small can you make it? How low can you get? Tell the person beside you. Everybody, rock star pose. Melt into a new rock star pose. You can't get it wrong. Don't copy me. high-five somebody beside you. Boom! Awesome.
All right. Oh.
Okay.
Maybe get us moving and grooving.
So for that song in many grooves. Sorry, I'm out of breath.
I'm getting
For that song in many grooves, the group interactions are really key for these sort of movements to make the most sense. And I feel like Geronimo is one that, because you have the jumping high tens, because you have this group thing on the bridge of the song, that the group really does make the magic happen. So. I'm sure you all felt magical in your living rooms, but just in case you didn't.
I felt pretty good, though. Yeah.
But that one you can see. Good, yeah. Colin, you had a massive smile, and Matt, you were rocking. Stephanie, your legs were like, yeah! So high. But that one you can see. I mean, my heart is pumping. I encourage the kids to get low on those squats. I see some glistening foreheads on you guys. It's
right.
Good. So yeah. That one does definitely work on dodging and cardiovascular endurance.
Can I... You know, continue to bring back that social emotional learning, though. Like just the finding a new partner, like, you know, reaching out to someone different, you know.
It's all that stuff.
Yeah, making sure you dodge someone. You know, like just all those little things I think are key. And, you know, just to keep exploring around the room, finding different people, making eye contact.
It's awesome.
And again, the smiles.
And that's also
the smiles that happen with it.
The smiles.
Yeah.
It does. It just comes alive. And Matt, what I'm going to actually share with you is... when I teach teachers how to do grooves with their kids, it's always based on a simple movement. So let's say the movement's the run. Remember back to our first thing, the snap. You get them confident with a simple move, so confidence. You then do give a creative cue, so creativity. So where can you take that snap? Where can you run around and dodge? And the third piece is the connection cue. So the connection cue is with somebody or with yourself in terms of like a self-expression type thing. So it follows these three C's, confidence, creativity, connection. And that's really when you're thinking of a... And then we have teachers making up their own grooves. So they're like, oh, I got this song. All we did was squats. But instead of just squatting, we squatted, like, face a different partner every time, reached, or they made their own moves based on sort of the philosophy of the principles behind how groove works with those three C's.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
And what I see, like, just is the byproduct of students going through this is just developing that community. A lot of times physical education, health teachers are trying to find a way to build a community. And it's like they have to, in a sense, force it. But this is like a really, really authentic, organic way of developing
for sure.
that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
for sure.
It's awesome.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And that's my favorite part about it is the connections. That you make, and they're so brief that you're not asking students to, you know, find a partner and tango dance with them. You're just saying, play the drums with that person, swing them around with your elbow. And it's these students that may not interact with each other, and they're just kind of quickly, without any time or peer pressure, quickly doing it. And then you never know what that does to a classroom culture as well.
Yeah. And I also see kind of like a skill transfer too. I mean, You're involving those locomotor skills and even some strategies like the dodging. That's a transfer of skill as well. Like if kids didn't maybe get it in like a practice thing that you were doing, maybe they'll get it through dance because that's their thing. And you'll see
that's a great point
over when you do a small game.
I love it. That's a great point. You just made me think of a little short story. Dana Short. I don't know if you know Dana out of Seattle Public Schools.
No.
Dana Shore's her name? Dana. Anyways, she's a rock star. She's awesome. I worked with her and she learned some grooves. She wrote me a beautiful email about 3 months ago saying one of her students could not get master a skip. The skip just was not happening. And she also had some other delays, etc. But Geronimo and that double hop, she's like, Miss, I'm skipping. And it like, she just, because it was through music, with creativity, she couldn't get it wrong. Something happened and she turned that into the idea that it's a skip. It really is a step and a hop, but she was doing it to music with party arms but she transferred that in her mind, this grade three said, I'm skipping. And I was like, I saved it. It's really cool when you get those testimonies.
All right. Well, that was, again, just a fantastic part one to this episode, Grooving with Michelle Hillier. And again, I just can't say thanks enough for her expertise and, you know, sharing the things that she knows and just being able to get us up, moving and grooving and just having a good time, and just kind of love everything that we're doing right here. So we've got a part two coming up next week. So we've got a couple more dances coming up. We'll groove again with Michelle a couple more times, and we'll kind of dig deeper into some other questions just about motivating students and educators, you know, to create that lifelong love for dance. And we'll talk just a little bit more about, you know, just dance and physical literacy and tying all those things together. And again, we'll get down and groove, do a couple more songs with Michelle on the podcast. And it's really been a lot of fun for our team. So I really look forward to that. So we've got that one coming up. We've got a self-care episode coming up, and lots of other great things happening on the podcast in March. Many great things happening just with Shape America in general. So again, always check out shapeamerica.org. Again, great resource out there for educators, health and physical educators, and doing a lot of great things to advocate for our profession and sharing lots of great free resources out there. So check it out. And again, not a member of Shape America, again, really think about becoming a member. It's very, very well worth it. And again, supporting such a great organization that really works to push our profession forward. So without further ado, we're going to sign off for the part one of this episode of the podcast. Again, grooving with Michelle Hillier. And, you know, just looking forward to all the other podcasts coming up. So thanks for tuning in and for another episode of the Shape America podcast. And I'm signing off for Colin Brooks and Stephanie Sandino. I am Matt Pomeroy, and signing off for the Shape America podcast. All right. Happy teaching.